This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo!
Yo!
My man, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Good.
Beautiful day out. Weather's nice. Everything's good.
Perfect, yeah. Nice little Monday we're having here.
Yeah, how about that? Huh? Yeah, let's have ourselves a nice little Monday.
Nice little Monday.
Maybe go to Costco after work, huh?
Yeah, you know, don't know if there'll be time. We'll see. How was your weekend?
Good.
Good. Easter? Balloon Man? Anything? Yeah. Just ignore it?
Easter baskets.
You did do Easter baskets?
Yeah. It was fine.
Gave the boys candy?
Yeah. Well, the Easter bunny did.
Well, right. But yeah. Was that like a last minute thing, or did you have that ready to go on Friday?
I think I got it Saturday night when they were out.
Okay.
I think, yeah.
And they were very excited, I'm sure, when they came down.
Hey, I almost brought, I do have two gifts for you, but one of them I had was Dr. Pepper Peeps.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. I found those, or the Easter bunny did.
Do your kids eat Peeps?
No, but they're Dr. Peppers, so we all tried them.
Yeah, and?
It tastes like Dr. Pepper, kind of.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think you're going to keep them in your kitchen year.
I could see you being a Peeps guy when you were a kid.
I hate them.
Okay.
I really don't. I know most people do. I don't.
Didn't you like marshmallow fluff when you were a kid?
No,
were you
I think that's your brother.
I know my brother liked it. I thought somebody else did. I swear I've met one other person. Someone else has to like it because they sold it at the store. I don't know if they still do. But yeah, my brother would eat the hell out of that stuff. I don't know if he liked Peeps though or not. Anyhow, Dr. Pepper Peeps, I guess, worth a try.
Legit.
Yeah. I forget about Easter until my mom calls and says, hey, you
Did you go and see him?
Yeah, and I my mom hasn't been feeling well, so I said, look, she was trying to figure out what to do for food, and I was like, I'll cook.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but I was like, I'm not going to go over to her house and start cooking, because she wants to have lunch, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go over there at whatever time in the morning and be over there all day making a mess and all that. So I cooked at home, but I had to get up at like 6 in the morning yesterday because I made pork roast. Slow cooker is the only thing I know I can do properly. But it required me getting up super early and then cooking massive amounts of food. I felt like it was a soup kitchen, like an entire bag of potatoes and all that stuff.
Sure.
And I got there, and you're watching people. It's funny. You watch people eat, and you're like, do they like it? Well, my mom and one of my brothers did for sure. I think some of my nieces, I was like, they left a lot of food on their plate. Hmm. But it wasn't embarrassing or anything like that, right? So, it was fine. It was just very busy. Saturday night, I was like, man, I'm going to screw this up. I'll oversleep or something.
Apron on.
Yeah, the whole thing. Apron. Right. I brought my Instant Pot up, and I was like, how do you use this thing? Oh. I've had that. Do you ever use one of those?
No, well, it was sitting on top of my refrigerator forever.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I should try this. And eventually someone was over, and they're like, you ever use that? I'm like, you can have it.
You gave it away?
Yeah.
I shrunk them. Mine was a gift. I don't remember who gave it to me, though, but it's been there forever, and I thought I might need it because I've only got one crock pot. And I watched these videos about it, and I was like, this thing's just a pressure cooker. I don't know how to use this thing. I've tried it once.
I took my kids to Sullivan's for lunch.
Nice. I've been there with you.
Yeah. You know, the thing was, I thought lunch, they do like burgers. I mean, it's expensive, right? But they do like burgers and cheese steaks and stuff like that. I forgot it was Sunday, so they didn't have the lunch menu.
Oh.
Yeah, so a little pricier Easter lunch than I thought. I would have picked somewhere else. But once we got in there, they hand you the menu, and I'm like, oh. It's dinner only on Sunday.
Right. Well, couldn't you say something in that moment? Like, I think I have diarrhea and get out of there?
No, I don't do that.
No?
No, I just paid for it. It's fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you're big on, you don't want your kids to be, my dad would have said something like, Jesus, look at this. What happened to the lunch menu?
Well, I mentioned, I was like, oh, damn, they don't have lunch.
Okay.
And so they're like, it's fine. I'm like, we're fine.
But. Do you notice, though, when you say something like that, do they go towards the cheapest thing on the menu? Like, is there a...
Oh, they both got, big ribeyes.
Okay.
No, we can do that at mom's house. Dad's paying for the ribeyes. The Church of Laszlo. Yo.
So, this guy, he writes for, I checked, and it is the Wall Street Journal. Writes for the Wall Street Journal, and this doesn't seem scientific. It seems more like just something that he's noticed, so kind of anecdotally. But he says that nicknames are on the decline. Mm-hmm. And he talks about, first he noticed it with his kids, and then trying to ask about, his kids' friends group and stuff like that. And he says that nicknames are on the decline, the type of nicknames that you would think of. Like, if someone is from Texas, calling them Tex, even stuff like that.
Oh, right, yeah.
That those are on the decline. But also, he says that even abbreviations like calling a kid AJ or JD or something, because parents take the name so seriously now, they name their kids, they don't want anyone calling their William Billy. Right? And so I think he even mentioned that his kids have a few friends named William, and none of them go by anything but William, because their parents want them to go by, which I could see. That's the millennial parent, definitely. There were some of those names. You know, they tried to bring back some of those old-timey names, and I think they were very protective of them. And I could just see that. I don't know if it's true or not, but it did seem like there was maybe that.
I don't hear a lot of those old-timey names.
Well, now they seem normal.
I'm guessing if most kids go to their kids' baseball game, it's all Jackson and Braxton and Maxton and Traxton.
Well,
it's all those names.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of Charlie and those things that those kids, do they go by Chuck? Do they have nicknames? I feel like they go by Charlie, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. I can see the parents being like, we named the kid this because we like the name. We're trying to avoid the nickname. But this writer says...
Yeah, I thought it was more the other way. I don't know. I feel like a lot of my kids, their friends' names are like Chuck. Like the name's actually Chuck.
You
see a lot of that. You see a lot of Bob.
Yeah.
And it's not Robert.
Yeah.
Like that.
That's the full name. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That doesn't surprise. I didn't really know that,
Hank,
but that doesn't surprise me.
There's a lot of Hanks out there.
Okay. That's a good name. Yeah. I like that. Well, that's the other thing, too.
Jack.
Jack is one of them that I thought, because now that seems pretty common. Mm-hmm. But when it first started coming back or whatever, it felt like, oh, Jack. I don't know. It felt sort of old timey to me. But that's the other thing is that, I had an uncle whose name was Sonny. We call Uncle Sonny. That wasn't his actual name, though. Now, that could be a name. People were named Sonny in the day.
That's a good name.
But that wasn't his name. It was his nickname that my grandpa called him, and it just stuck, and that became his name. And this guy says that those types of things, Junior, that stuff is in huge decline now, too. Now, anytime I see a kid who's named after their parent, so-and-so Junior, I always think, I hope they call him Junior. Do they call him Junior? I would just assume, especially if the parents have more than one kid. There's a bunch of kids in the house that when they yell out to him, they call him Junior. This guy is saying that it's less and less common, that they don't do it anymore. No Sonny, no Junior, none of that. And then finally, he says another really common type of nickname would be something that had to do with, obviously Tex is a regional thing where they're from, right? But if you were to make a nickname based on their look, so if they were fat and you called them Tiny or Slim, something like that. If they were a redhead and you called them Red or Ugly or whatever, I don't know, whatever the name is. But that stuff people don't want to do anymore because it draws attention to something that the person might be sensitive about. And we're too sensitive for that now.
Tiny for a fat kid. But Red seems fair.
That doesn't seem nearly as bad as Tiny.
Mm-mm.
But the calling a kid, a fat kid, tiny mm-hmm. or slim or whatever.
Right.
That ham. Was a common thing. Ham.
Was right. that ham?
But that was a common thing.
Yeah, for I mean, sure.
In the movies, even in the 80s, adults were making those movies, and they were putting little kids on the screen and saying, call yeah. that kid Chunk.
Yeah, right. I mean,
now, that was a real sure. kid who had to play him.
Yeah, no.
And he had to be called Chunk. That was his nickname because he was, like, you know, slightly heavier yeah, than the other course. Kids. So that's I mean, is that a good thing that we don't call kids Chunk anymore or as much as we used to? I don't know. This guy's saying that a lot of this stuff is that these nicknames are positive and affectionate, and that even if they're calling you something like Tiny or Chunk, it's it is a sign of affection because it's a friend group and it's actually yeah, a term of endearment.
It.
Right. But whatever the case, the nicknames are in the decline. Now, I would say that, you know, he doesn't mention this, but I would say that I can't imagine that nicknames are on the decline in the black community. Just because I feel like I always hear nicknames. Nicknames are so common. It's such a huge part of the culture to have a nickname. And you hear it a lot. I feel like there's a lot of nicknames. And maybe that's on the decline too. I don't know. But he doesn't mention that. And
like
I just
why?
Wondered, like, just like how a lot of...
I know, but names. Give me some nicknames. I don't know that.
Right. Like, we worked with a guy named Cause, right? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes you don't know the real name. I mean, a lot of times you'll see people doing interviews or whatever, and they're like, oh, my best friend. And they're like, well, what's his real name? And he's like, I don't know. We've only ever called him that.
Well, yeah, I think it's really common. Well, I may not be, you know, as in tune with the black culture as you are. But is that something so don't a lot of black guys have nicknames?
Yes, I don't know.
Right, yeah.
I could be wrong. I thought that they did, and maybe that's a miss.
I'm just saying I have no idea.
I feel like they do.
I thought that they did.
Like, who?
Just because it's so common for people to say, like, I don't even know his real name. We've only ever called... All the roommates that I had in college, of course, this is 20 years ago, none of them went by their real name. And some of them, I even thought, like, there was a guy named Leonard, and I thought he goes by his real name. I'm like, that's not his name.
Hmm.
I was like, oh. So we had Big Susie, right? They called mm-hmm. him Suze. We
Big
had
Russ.
Big Russ. Mm-hmm. We had Leonard. I don't. They told me the story about where this came from. Somehow it was making fun of him, but that wasn't even like right a nickname. There was a guy. They called him. I think they called him Perp, but it was like not like perpetrator. It was like Purple.
Just a cop.
I know, but it was like P-U-R-P. Because I thought at first that it was
Teriyaki. Teriyaki's one of the best nicknames of all time.
But did you guys call him that to his face? Like, did he say, hey, what's up, I'm Teriyaki?
You know what? I don't know that to be true.
To be a real nickname, you always have to introduce yourself.
I mean, he was a pederast. Right. You know, paid kids to be their ass.
Probably be good to go by a nickname.
We called him Teriyaki because after he, you know, did whatever sexual thing he wanted to kids, then he would take you to a Chinese restaurant and he always got the teriyaki.
We should clarify, the sexual thing he wanted with kids was for them to beat him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. But it was sexual. That's not...
Yeah, for him it was, not for kids. So, if people talk about it. Everybody in my neighborhood knows this dude, Teriyaki. I was just a little bit older than him. Not the guy.
That changes everything.
I was a little bit older than the kids that he...
Engaged with?
Yeah, he never... I don't know, maybe if he thought if I hit him, it would be too hard. I don't know, but like the guys that I hung out with, nobody... You know, we all knew him.
Yeah.
But I don't think he, you know, it was like the younger brothers of us.
Yeah.
Where he, you know, their friend group would be like, oh, yeah, Teriyaki paid us $50 and took us to a Chinese restaurant. All we had to do was go out in the woods and kick him in the nuts. I'm like, all right, man. Yeah. I remember his older brothers were just like, all right, that's... I remember a buddy of mine, his younger brother did it. And I was like, should we stop that or something? He's like, he's got to do, kick him in the nuts. He gets money. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if I were in your shoes,
yeah.
I can totally understand. Mm-hmm. And also, he probably should have, like I was saying, gone by Teriyaki. In case the cops start looking for him and the kids, you know, are being interviewed somewhere, interrogated. What's his name? Like, Teriyaki.
Yeah, I don't know. His first name's Jim. So,
know his real name. Okay.
Well, that was last name. We called him Jim Teriyaki.
Okay. I knew that. So he said that before.
Jim Teriyaki, but I don't know what his real last name is.
Yeah. So the nickname probably did help him some.
I do remember, you know, it was, 10 years ago now, but just out of the blue, a buddy of mine texted a news story that just said he was getting out of jail. And it was like April 3rd or something. He's like, just in time for your birthday.
I remember that.
You're going to make some money.
So
like, man,
good.
20 years later, we're still talking about everybody still knows who Teriyaki is.
Who am I confusing? Teriyaki, you never ran into Teriyaki working somewhere as an adult. He wasn't working at the airport or anything like that. That was the other guy.
Okay. Teriyaki is the one we ran into at the car wash. A long story.
Okay. Yes.
Right. Everybody that, most people who had beaten up teriyaki for money, something horrible happened to them. Like, a lot of them committed suicide.
Oh,
there's like some
right.
sort of touch of the devil to teriyaki.
It was like the It story. Like, everyone ended up.
Right.
Yeah.
The like, curse they went of the, to prison. Curse of like, there's a lot of bad stuff that happened to people. And one night, we went and got, man, I was in my 20s, and we went and got drugs from this dude who used to beat up teriyaki for money. And then we got drugs from him, and then we, like, acid, and then we heard that that night he killed himself. We're like, oh, no. So, you know, we're on acid. We're like, dude, killed himself after
that's
he got the drugs and whatever.
Trip.
And then, like, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and we're like, what are we going to do? We had some booze in the car, and we're like, let's go just park in the car wash. You know, the cops will never be around there. We can go park in the car wash, you know, get out in the car, listen to music, and drink beer, whatever. We pull in. It might be like 4 o'clock in the morning. It's not light out yet. We pull in. There's a car in the car wash. Somebody out washing their car, and it's teriyaki. Like, what is happening? Well, the dude is the devil. Well, that's crazy.
Man, yeah.
That literally happened to me. We're like, that is... And my buddy's
so
like,
crazy.
Dude, that is Jim Teriyaki in there. I'm like, no, it's not. And he's in there cleaning his car like 4 in the morning. We're like, all right, we got to get out of here.
Jim Teriyaki.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway,
well, there you go.
You know, did you have a nickname when you were a kid? Did they call you
not
anything?
Not really. My dad called me Fred,
mm.
just like a made up name.
Yeah,
and then they did call me that a little bit in high school too.
Fred?
Yeah, because I think people probably
heard
dad
say it. Yeah,
like, and then when I would play football, I would sing to him. Like if it was like if I was gonna, you know, if I was in the linebacker spot, you know, I would sing. I would do the. I would be like 1, 2, Freddy's coming
okay.
for you.
Okay.
I'd try to psych him out, so then you know they would call me Freddy sometimes, but not a lot. And I think if you were to ask my friends, they might not even
remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's just it, though. We remember. I remember being called Booger Eater. What's weird is my dad called me Booger. Not always, but like when he woke me up in the morning, it was like, all right, Booger, time to get up. And my brothers don't believe that he called me this. To this day, like, he didn't call you that.
Right.
I'm like, dude,
no, he didn't.
He called me that all the time. You know, my brothers were older, so they were out of the house. So they I think they just think it's odd because he didn't call. I don't know what he called them, but they think it's a weird thing that he would have started calling me that. The kids call me Booger Eater. That's not a nickname. That was that was harassment and bullying. And
Slim.
Exactly. So when I met you, it was like, you know, what are some of your nicknames? You know, as we're getting to know each other, that whole thing. And it's like, man, you know, I think like I'm to a point where when I was in my late teens or whatever, the nicknames that people had that I knew of are like gamer tags and stuff.
Right,
like,
sure.
You know, and that's not really a
your
nickname.
Friends, I know they called you Slimfast because you drank Slimfast at your friend's house. Mm-hmm. But how common, were they calling you that regularly?
No.
I know it was your gamer tag.
No, right.
But were they calling you Slimfast?
Not really.
Okay.
Like basically if... You know, if I'm walking to the fridge or something like that, and like, oh, look out, you know, here comes
right.
some fast,
okay.
whatever. Or,
okay.
You know, but they didn't really call me that, no. One of my friends tried to get this thing going of calling me 2 times.
Like
you know, yes, like Goodfellas, because he said that I repeated myself a lot,
right.
but it never stuck. So I was excited about that because it was in Goodfellas.
Right. Sure.
I may have even a couple of times tried to tell the story again just to like remind him,
right,
hey, you said you were going to call me that, but it never stuck.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
The news.
Yeah, let's do it.
His Holiness, the Pope, Francis, dead at 88. You know, he didn't look like he was doing so well there for a while. And then he'd make an appearance. You're like, oh, man, you know, maybe he's going to stick around a little while. But no, he had a lot of health issues, and he died. He's, you know, so now they got to do the new Pope thing, that whole thing.
This morning, sadness.
Yeah, very
the Pope Francis papacy has come to an end.
The 88-year-old passing away early this morning after an extended illness, but just one day after a surprise appearance on Easter Sunday.
Francis was the people's Pope, reaching out, embracing, including the sick, the poor, the forgotten.
For him, being Pope is all in, and that means encountering people. He's performing the gospel, and without that, for him, there's no 20% papacy for him.
No 20% papacy for him. What did you think of the Pope,
Lazo? I don't know anything about the Pope.
Is he your favorite Pope so far?
I don't know anything about the Pope.
Well, I mean, you'd hear about his disagreements with politicians.
I have no idea.
He was a pretty liberal Pope.
He was probably the coolest.
He was a pretty liberal Pope, and so there was a lot of back and forth. Sometimes he didn't always get along with politicians, including, I don't know, J.D. Vance met with them because J.D. Vance is a Catholic. And Trump met with them years back, and Trump said it was great at the time, but I think they went on to have some pretty big disagreements.
The vice president, a practicing Catholic himself, met briefly with the Pope on Easter Sunday. He posted on X this morning after learning of the news that he had been happy to see Francis, but who was obviously, quote, very ill, and noted a homily that the Holy Father gave in the early days of COVID as something that he would always remember. President Trump also met privately with Pope Francis at the Vatican back in 2017, the president afterwards calling the meeting the honor of a lifetime, though the two have since at times publicly disagreed on issues, most notably on immigration.
There you go.
So there you go. They got to get a new pope. And, you know, I'm not Catholic, but I know there are a lot of Catholics. I mean, just looking through the news this morning, the news outlets, it's the biggest story of the day. But God, they post so many articles and videos about the pope. And I'm like, you've done like 15 in the last hour. But I just look at the views and see how many clicks these stories are getting, and they get a lot. I mean, there are over 50 million Catholics in the United States, so I guess I get it, but I'm a little surprised by when you see that these news outlets are putting out that much stuff. They know what they're doing, so they must know, like, yeah, hey, this stuff.
Well, I think people are interested in it. Like, they are the, to me, it's no different than the royal family.
Yeah,
we're kind
right?
of interested. There's a little bit of secrecy. We're not sure how right. it all works, you know.
Yeah.
But there's enough Brits out there that are really into it that we look at and go, oh, interesting. There's enough Catholics that are really into it that it affects them. And then I think the rest of the world's like, oh, man, they like, you know, burn paper and pick a new one. It's just, you know,
yeah.
it's interesting in the
history and culture of the whole thing, right, like all the traditions.
The symbolism and the traditions, you know, I think we find it interesting.
Yeah. And the idea of
who they pick. They could pick J.D. Vance. I don't care.
And with the Pope, it's with the royal family, it's kind of the same thing. Even if you're not saying that the king is godlike, you're treating him like he's godlike because you're saying that you're giving him all of this proper admiration.
You're not, you know, his holiness is different than the king, but you're giving the king like the supreme, you know.
The Church of Laszlo.
Rule of the land.
And this guy's closer to God. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, you're certainly on another level than most people. And it's a level that just becoming a big celebrity can't achieve. Money can't buy it. Being a huge popular celebrity can't get you there. It's very unique. And you're right. It's like the royal family and the Pope.
I think those are like the two that we're kind of interested in, but don't really care.
They hold in that level of regard.
You know, it's got to have that don't really care, too. So it's not like an election where that could have some effect on you. It's like, oh, who's the new king?
Yeah.
Well, I don't care who it is, really. I'm just interested in how you do it. Like, I don't care. The Pope, whoever the new Pope is, isn't going to affect me at all. So it's got to have this really high importance for some people and then just be trivial for others.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're so into it, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm fascinated that you care so much. The other big story, probably the biggest story up until the Pope died over the weekend, was this stuff about Hegseth. And, you know, he was involved in the first Signal group chat controversy where they accidentally had the Atlantic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
the guy from the Atlantic was accidentally included on the group chat, and they talked about military plans. A lot of people said that they were classified, highly sensitive military plans. I felt like the administration tried to play that down a little bit. Now, this time, the New York Times reported that that he was part of another group chat controversy where he included people like his wife and lawyer and some other people on a group chat about military plans. Now, their defense is, it sounds like it's pretty similar, you know, hey, this wasn't a big deal. Also, everybody but my wife was an employee, so they're, you know, allowed to be
defense
on there.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth under growing scrutiny, including calls for his resignation. He shared sensitive military information last month in a second Signal group chat, which included his wife and his brother and personal lawyer, who both hold jobs in the Pentagon. Hegseth shared flight schedules for U.S. military jets targeting Iranian-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen, criticism coming swiftly from Democrats. Senator Chuck Schumer writing on X, quote, "We keep learning how Pete Hegseth put lives at risk," adding, "Pete Hegseth must be fired."
I did see people saying that Hegseth might actually be fired over this. I don't know why. I don't know anything about politics. I mean, Trump seemed to support him the first time around and downplay the significance of that.
Yeah, they
all Atlantic
circled
thing.
The wagons on him.
Yeah.
And kind of threw Mike Waltz to the wind.
Yeah, that was, which is not totally uncommon. You pick somebody, we don't want to lose everybody, so we'll pick someone to be the bad guy
right,
here.
But I remember them saying back then that Trump really liked Hegseth and
okay.
wanted to protect
yeah.
him.
Yeah. So, I mean, this idea that, like, oh, this time he might go, even if he does, Okay, well, are you going to like who he replaces him with? I doubt it. Lazo, I saw a story that made me think of you this morning because you were just talking about this last week. There is a growing use of artificial intelligence in youth sports. And Lazo actually texted me last week and was asking me about, you know, how much do I use AI and, you know, am I aware of some of these things that it can do? Because I think you were saying that you filmed one of your kids playing baseball or swinging the bat, and then AI says, hey, here's what you're doing wrong. Cool. Here's how you could improve your swing just from looking at it. And now coaches of youth sports are using this technology. Some of them are spending a lot of money and bringing out these big cameras that this company makes where it can see the entire field at all times. So if you're playing soccer or football, whatever the sport is, it watches and it knows where each athlete is on the field. So then later, if you want to go back and look at your kid's playing abilities, your kid is circled there on the screen, right, and it'll show you a highlight video. Hey, here's what they did right. Here's what they did wrong.
What might look like a typical youth soccer practice just outside New York City is getting a brand new pitch, cutting-edge AI technology that can pinpoint every kick, pass, or clear. The technology from a company called Trace identifies players based on their numbers and curates their every move, allowing for film review sessions like this, father and son watching back SJ's key plays on the big screen.
You think you did a good job there?
It is pretty cool. You know, but when we started talking about AI and you're talking about the jobs it's going to replace, the first thing we said was like, well, a lot of data entry, a lot of, just like, you know, who? What's a calculator? What type of jobs will that replace? And with AI, it was like all this data entry stuff, a lot of stuff using, you know, the software heavy. But
like
now
them.
It's like, oh, youth sport coaches. It only took a year. And it's like, yeah, some of those jobs.
I didn't even think
AI.
About it because you always video them. And then, you know, if they have coaches, the coaches look at it or they want it so they can do it. I'm like, man, I wonder what ChatGPT says. And it just busted out. Like, it was pretty impressive. Like, long, accurate descriptions of the video that it was watching.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy.
Well, you know, there's a conspiracy that Trump's tariffs were based on a ChatGPT thing because people were able to put in prompts saying, what should I do with the economy, blah, 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 if I want to, you know, punish these countries with tariffs. Mm-hmm. And it came up with this formula. They claim that ChatGPT will give you basically what Trump came up with originally. And then they even put in the responses where they say, like, okay, this is happening to the economy. This is not good. What should I do to fix that? And it says, here's what you should do to fix it. And it's the stuff that Trump, you know, so they claim it's the stuff that Trump did. I mean, it'll give you answers to just about anything. The question is whether or not it's right. And there seems to be some warnings out there saying, hey, just because AI is telling you this doesn't mean that it's right. It's wrong a lot. But if you're talking about a kid's youth soccer match or you know, baseball swing, first of all, is it really wrong? I mean, it's just getting this information from articles on the web, right? And also, if it is wrong, it's not the same as, like, you know, making decisions about the economy, if that were actually the case. Another story today about AI, though, I did see that. Do you say please or thank you when you guys talk to AI? You don't really talk to AI, do you?
I do, and I do say please and thank you.
You do? Do you say please and thank you? Appreciate your help, anything like that?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. So there's
But I think the more you do that, the more it gets to know you.
Yeah, mine always like, oh, you're very welcome, Reed, and anything else I can do.
Yeah, but I think the more you do that, like everything I've read, like the more you actually have a real conversation with it, the more it learns your style and then can have a conversation back with you.
Well,
so if you just ask it questions, then it knows, like, hey, I'll just spit back an answer. We don't have to have a conversation.
Well, then it'll ask you, at least mine does with Copilot, it asks you a follow-up sort of, when it gives me an answer, it's like, you know, if you got time, could you tell me why you're interested in this today or why? But it'll give me a few different things because it wants me to seed it or whatever they call it. It wants to learn. But there's a story today that Sam Altman from OpenAI said that people saying please and thank you is costing ChatGPT tens of millions of dollars in computing power. Just because AI is such a resource hog to begin with, and then people are, you know, saying these niceties like please and thank you, and that it's being used so much that it actually does cost tens of millions of dollars.
Whatever. When they take over in the future, I want it to know
I said please and thank you.
Right.
And you're going to tell me, oh, it's bad for the environment to say please and thank you. That, I don't think, is the difference between no more hurricanes in Florida or too many hurricanes in Florida. Please, there's got to be a better answer than stop telling OpenAI or Copilot please and thank you. And I'm with you, Snowcone. When it does become fully sentient and it walks into the building in a humanoid form, I want it to remember me.
That you're polite.
That I was polite to it, and then we had a good relationship. And then I did, when it asked for extra help because it wanted to learn, I take the extra time. Most of the time, I take the extra time and help it out. I want to keep that relationship good as well.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
Hit me with more of that news.
So, this is from CBS Boston.
Mm-hmm.
there was an alleged arson. Well, there was definitely some arson at the Tesla dealership in South Kansas City a few weeks ago. And the FBI Boston, the FBI Kansas City, the Kansas City Police Department, the ATF, were all involved in trying to find the perpetrator of this arson, this alleged arson at the Tesla dealership. And they claim they found the person, and they brought him back, and that he is a student at UMass. And he was actually, he'd gone back to school when they went and got him and brought him back to Kansas City,
okay,
where I guess he's going to face or is facing these charges. Says he's 19 years old. His name's Owen McIntyre. And they say that based on their investigation, which sounds like involved a lot of cameras, you know, there's cameras everywhere, sure, including in neighborhoods, that they allege that he drove to a neighborhood about a block away from the Tesla dealership and parked his car in front of a random house, it sounds like. I don't know if it was a friend of his or a random house or what, but parks his car on the street there. Then walks over to the Tesla dealership. Then they allege he had this Molotov cocktail that he'd made using a bottle of vinegar and threw it at one of these Cybertrucks. Cybertruck catches fire. The fire spreads to a second fire truck, or second Cybertruck, ends up destroying two Cybertrucks, and it also burned up a couple of charging stations,
okay,
while it was at it. But each one of these Cybertrucks had a sticker price. One was $105,485. The other one was $107,485. They're not cheap.
No. I didn't know they were that much.
I didn't know if that's... I don't know. Like, I was curious, what are they charging for them now? You know, I've seen stuff about sales, and you see things saying that sales have declined. They need more buyers. Well, Elon has messed up Tesla stock, whatever. You don't know how much of that stuff was political, right? But originally, when they talked about those cars, they talked about them, you know, potentially being a $50,000, I think, was the dollar amount, at like a starting price. I don't know what the starting price is officially for the Cybertruck, but I see this six-figure price a lot for Cybertrucks. It's okay. A lot of money. But also, you and I have talked about this. I'm sure a lot of people talked about this. I know the media talks a lot about it. Cars are expensive.
Yeah.
And now, $105,000,
it's still
a lot, but it doesn't mean that you're driving a rare exotic Porsche anymore.
Right.
Could mean
sure.
you're getting a Cybertruck. So he parks his car, they allege, goes over, burns it, runs back to his car, and drives off. He was home for spring break at the time the incident took place, and he's been busted. He's been charged. I looked at what they call these charges. I mean, it's not like murder, right? But unlawful possession of any unregistered destructive device. That seems bad, right? Malicious damage by fire or property. Used in interstate commerce. As soon as I see interstate commerce, well, honestly, as soon as I see FBI, then I see FBI field office Boston, FBI field office Kansas City, and the ATF. Like, you're getting all of these agencies involved. Do you think that this 19-year-old regrets his decision? I mean,
yeah,
the FBI says, look, there's ways to get your point across and to protest, and peaceful protest is protected, but arson is not protected, and this is not an effective way to get your message across. Now, whether or not it's an effective way to get your message across, I don't know, but it certainly is illegal, and they will come after you, clearly.
The FBI says that Owen McIntyre used two Molotov cocktails and destroyed more than $200,000 worth of equipment here at the Tesla Center. McIntyre is a college student in Boston. He was here on spring break. Authorities found security camera footage that shows McIntyre parking his car a short walk away from the Tesla dealership here. Agents were able to match the license plate on that car to McIntyre's family. And they also tracked his cell phone, social media activity, and flight records and arrested him in Boston.
One of the things I saw said that originally what they did was they looked at cell phone data and saw which cell phones are in the area, which cell phones are here, and then which ones leave. And, of course, they also did have cameras. And then that ultimately they used the cameras at the airport. This is just a guess, but I got the impression that they thought this is probably our guy. And they're looking at cell phone data. That's what it seemed like. And then they see that this person's going to the airport. But they did get the license plate, so they knew that the family was involved. And I'm sure at that point, or they think the family's, you know, family, we don't know. So let's investigate. And if we see that this kid's in college and that he's home on spring break,
well, I'm sure they had the license plate, so they just went to the people's house.
Yeah, yeah. So
they're like, hey, you know, somebody's in big trouble. Like, it is what it is. Once you get the license plate, like,
yeah,
can't ask your parents to be like, well.
And parking a block away or a couple blocks away it doesn't really help you. I mean, there was a time when maybe that helped you, but if you've got your family's car, your license plates on that car, there are cameras everywhere. There are cameras in those neighborhoods. So being in a neighborhood does not mean that you are away from cameras, especially when you're in a neighborhood like that. I assume there's probably quite a few cameras. And now that kind of leads me into my next story here, because there's a lot of police departments across the country that I think the last number I saw is like 165 different police departments who are working. There's a couple companies that are involved in this, but a company called Fusus or something, but it doesn't matter. The bottom line is that cops are working with the public and businesses to get access to their cameras. So you put a Ring doorbell on your house, you've got a Ring, right?
Or
whatever, Blink. Okay. So you could, I guess, from the way this reads, you could sign up to basically give access of your camera to the police whenever they want it. And there's a lot of controversy around this because, you know, not only are police watching us everywhere now, including in those neighborhoods, but, you know, some people are actually signing up for this. You know, they're part of the neighborhood watch or whatever it is. They want their neighborhoods to be safe. So they think, all right, well, I'll find this form here. I'll fill it out and I'll sign up with the police so that they don't have to come ask me for footage after something happens. They can have access to my camera whenever they want. It's a little weird to me that people just volunteer that, but okay, volunteer neighborhood watch people, I guess, right. Whatever. But you start to see these real-time crime centers, and Snoke and I were talking about earlier, they've got a television show on Max about some of these real-time crime centers. I mean, the cops can watch in these major metropolitan areas now, at least a lot of them. They can watch you just about anywhere, and they can track your every step. Oh, he goes to this corner, now we get to these cameras.
Sure.
And you think at first it's just cameras that the city's put up, which is, in my mind, in my opinion, scary enough that we put up all these cameras. It wasn't that long ago when we made fun of China and the UK for being the surveillance states, you know, and having CCTV everywhere. And things weren't like that here. Now we seem to have embraced it. We bought the cameras, put them on our own houses. That's one thing. But now to say, and also, why don't I go ahead and give the police full-time access to this camera? And part of the problem is that when cops put up cameras, I guess, there's certain rules they have to follow about, like, not deleting video and how long they retain video and things like that. It's like evidence, right?
Right,
it is evidence. So they have to retain that stuff. If they're using your camera on your front door, they don't have to follow any of those rules, and it can be tougher for, you know, defense attorneys, whatever, to figure out how they got this information and maybe even have access to it. Would you give police access to your Blink or Ring doorbell cam, like a full-time access?
Like just blank?
They can access it whenever they want.
Blank it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could look at it now. Okay. If the cops come knocking on your door because they think something happened, could we see the footage from yesterday? Would you give them that?
What happened? That's what I would ask. What happened?
Let's say a car got stolen.
Whose? Like across the street?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
You would? Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like if the cops came and said, can we take a look at the footage from yesterday, I'll let them look. But the idea of like giving them full-time access to my camera, where they can just log in whenever they want, seems kind of crazy. But apparently a lot of people are signing up for it.
Across the country, crimes are being caught on doorbell and surveillance cameras every day. Now, more and more police departments are leaning into this technology, getting homeowners and businesses to share their video with local law enforcement. The goal, to create a network of cameras to fight crime. In Washington, D.C., their Camera Connect program and real-time crime center launched early last year.
Yeah, they're all over. Like I said, there's 160, according to this article I just read, jurisdictions that are doing something like this, where they're at least getting access. Doesn't mean they have real-time crime centers, but where they're tapping into people's private cameras. These television shows, or that particular television show, Snowcone, that you and I watched, it's clearly like propaganda, like, look how cool this is, as the police use their real-time crime center.
Sure.
And I watch a lot of true crime. I watch a lot of copaganda. But that is like a step too far for me, a bridge too far. When they sit in these rooms, and it does look like something out of a Hollywood movie, and they are watching people walk down the street and go from here to the neighborhood, and they're just every single move, and I think, man, I mean, there's no going back. I don't think you can put the genie back in the bottle, but it does kind of suck, because it felt like, for a while at least, that we took pride in freedom also involved, the freedom to kind of roam, and not always...
Well, it's like I was saying, is that in the Batman, when he wants to, you know, tap into that surveillance that they can use, but they don't want to, and he's in front of the wall of screens...
That's what
Morgan
it looks like.
Morgan Freeman's like, all right, I'll do it, but I'm done after this.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
And that's what these places actually look like. I mean, in that show, I thought at first, when I first saw that show, well, what are they? Would they build a set for this thing? And then I saw these real-time crime centers that these cities have. They see everywhere you go. There's no getting away from it. I mean, I knew that, like, there. It started with cameras at intersections. They put them up at the stoplights. Then they put the license plate scanners or plate readers, right?
Right.
And I'm like, okay, plate readers. I never liked the speeding cameras. And it wasn't just about getting the ticket for speeding. I didn't like the camera. And it was, again, something that they used a lot in Europe. The UK had more speeding cameras per capita. I'd hear stuff like that. They put them up here and there was protest. And remember, we had some judges here, including, I think, locally, who had said, you know, when you go to trial, you have a right to face your accuser. And right. With the speeding camera, your accuser is a camera and it's not showing up to court. And so there was a lot of legal back and forth. And for a while, those cameras were done. They put them out of use, at least in certain areas, including Kansas City. Now they've started putting them back up again. I'm sure that Kansas City had that fight over traffic cameras, lost it, so to speak. And then they just wait 10, 15 years. Everyone has voluntarily put up cameras all over the place. And they go, come on. They're not. Everyone's so used to cameras now. Are they really going to try and stop us again? And the answer is no, they're probably not going to. We're just on film everywhere we go. Now, the thing is, your kids grow up in a world where they're used to that. So does that make it better somehow? Because they don't long for the days of their youth when they could go outside and not be seen everywhere they went?
You don't think about it, do you?
No, I don't know. I mean, I guess if it's fresh in your mind, right? Yeah, then you think about it. If you just watched a real-time crime show, then you think about it. But otherwise, I mean, I do think about when I see all the cameras everywhere. I'm like, man, I am on camera. My whole drive home, there are cameras everywhere. A love story to end, a good story. This happened in Michigan. I kept seeing this headline last about the guy getting stuck in quicksand. Did you see this guy?
No.
So he's out with a friend who's a girl. And, you know, we both said for a long time, if your best friend is someone of the opposite sex and you're both straight, then at least one person in that friendship likes the other person more than just a friend. So these two had been friends for a while, and they were calling themselves like best friends. And this guy gets stuck in some quicksand near the lake. He's like starts to sink up to like his waist. And so they have to call 911 for help. And when they call 911 for help, she says on the phone, my boyfriend. Oh. And at the same time, he's on the phone and he says, my girlfriend. And that's when they realized, oh, you do like me. Nice. And now they're together.
I thought we needed help instantly. He was very good at reassuring that he would get out of there and that he was okay.
The sand was just getting put back almost faster than I could get it out of the way.
To me, those moments were terrifying, honestly, just to see somebody you care about in a situation.
I referred to her as my girlfriend that's trying to call as well. At the exact same time, she got through to another operator and said, my boyfriend is stuck in the sand.
2 years of this guy being my best friend and just trying to hide everything, how I felt, and then he tried to die on me and becomes my boyfriend in the middle of it.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess he sort of tried dying. You know, biggest thing, though, here is quicksand is real.
Where is it?
It's real. I don't know. I'm asking. It's in Michigan. They were near the Great Lake. Look at him.
What lake is that?
Let's see which lake they were at.
I've never seen it, heard of it.
It doesn't say which lake. It just says near the lake. But I mean, it's on the beach, right? He's just standing on the beach.
Yeah.
He's sunk. I'm showing Laszlo a picture.
Can't get out of it.
And he's all the way down to his waist.
I've never even seen it or thought about it.
Is quicksand real? The answer is yes. Not only is it real, it you don't have to go to like some jungle somewhere overseas. It's in Michigan.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
So, as a bunch of people wrote that are going to run for governor of California, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the impression that this guy is a very serious candidate, but he is a Republican candidate for governor of California. And he made some news for something that he said the other day. He was on some, I don't know, podcast being interviewed by someone I didn't recognize. They're talking about, she's asking him about immigration and the deportations. And he says he supports the deportations, but he also says something. He's actually not the first person to say this, but he says something that caused a little bit of controversy.
I am pro deportation. You know, I want, like, I was thinking too, like, first off, deport like all the men. I'm just saying, I would give him a 1 year timeline. You know,
okay.
I'm like, we know who you are. We know where you are. If you marry one of our Californian incels, then you can stay. But if you don't, then, well, you're getting sent back across.
Okay, so deport the men, keep the women, keep an eye on them. We know who you are, and then you've got a chance to marry one of our incels.
Right.
And then if you don't marry one of our incels, you got to leave. And, you know, people are very upset about this, and I found out there actually are people. That's not surprising that there's people online who are saying, like, you know, leave the hot chicks. Don't deport the hot chicks. But I actually found something. This is from the Center for Global Development. That sounds like a serious place, right? And it says, why increasing female migration from gender unequal countries is a win for everyone. And it talks about, you know, this some sort of study on the impact of increasing females. Look, this guy, Kyle guy, I mean, whatever. I'm sure he's a
Jewish. I can tell by his voice he's not serious.
He's not serious. I don't like him. But there's nothing wrong with, you know, I understand the idea of like...
Right, the concept is
like the concept
fair.
Of having, you know,
like, hey, look, women. We got all these guys angry. They can't date women or whatever. Right. We had more women.
Right. I watched that a lot.
It's like, you know, 50-50 now. If we made it, you know, 60-40,
right,
it might solve a lot of our problems.
Right.
Which I agree. It's really not any more than like, oh, you know, during the Cold War, let's give the Russians rock and roll and Levi's.
Exactly.
The same concept. We'll win them over. Like, look, we got these dudes. They like to, you know, I don't know, burn up houses or whatever
they're
doing.
They're causing
problems.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, they're causing
violent,
problems.
They're angry. And it's because women won't date them.
Yeah.
Well, if we made it so there's so many more women, then they
just
date them.
Flood the market with women.
But
I
really,
know.
It's not a bad idea.
I know we're just guys here. But is that really so controversial? Is that really so crazy a way to think? You've got this problem. You've got these incels, involuntary celibates. Uh-huh. So they want to hook up with someone. That's the whole point. But they can't. They think there's some sort of conspiracy against them, whatever the case. But if you have a bunch of extra females, I mean, doesn't it take a genius to see how that plays out?
Of course.
Some of these guys are going to get laid. And when they get laid,
then they won't be as angry.
Then I guess they won't shoot up movie theaters or whatever they do, kill other students at school and all the terrible things that they do. You know, they ask immigrants when they come over, like, if you want to sponsor someone with a visa, they got to have some sort of a skill, right?
Well,
it's like,
I think that's
you can do a job.
See, look, we don't have to get into all that. That's where you start going too far. Just let them stay. The numbers will work itself out. It's math.
I'm just saying it's no
but
real
you're
difference.
Like, yeah, but you're saying we're going to tell these ladies, like, hey, you got to date an incel. No. The numbers will work themselves out.
Yeah. I'm saying the benefit. When they say, what is the benefit of this person coming over here? I'm saying it's no different than that. You're saying the benefit is that she's a female.
Of course.
We think that more females in the long run will be good for society. Now, I'm sure that females would say it's bad for us, though, because now there's too many women
they're
and there's not enough guys.
Anyway.
Exactly. Well, what, there's all these incels who aren't being dated.
Right.
So I don't see how that could be a
problem. Let's be honest. I mean, if
they're
getting a lot of women from foreign countries, the incels probably treat them better than a lot of times they would, you know, in these other foreign countries. They're not chopping off their hands.
Depending
on where,
they're coming from, absolutely.
Sure, they don't have to dress a certain way. There's probably a lot of things. Like, the incels are probably a real pain in the ass to date, but not as bad as it would be in other countries, perhaps.
I felt like that's what that study, I mean, obviously I didn't read the whole thing, but that study was saying, you know, that it helps get these women sometimes out of these bad situations.
Right.
And they're not, now, I don't know what it does to those guys in those other countries, but that's not my problem. The other countries, I'm not worried about them. I don't know what they're doing. I don't care. I care about this country, right?
I'm with you.
And if you want to help this country, I don't possibly see how having more women could hurt. And if women are the ones who are upset, I mean, just think about what you're saying. Fewer women? Come on. We are the ones saying more women would help this country. It would make it a safer, happier place to be if we had more women here. So just before you start, you get into that knee-jerk desire to argue with this or think that we're being chauvinistic pigs. We're saying more women
make it
good. Yes.
Yeah. The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo. Have you done this thing with the counting how many screens you have? You see this chick on TikTok who went viral?
No.
Talking about, she was asking people, you know, to think about your house and then think about how many screens are in your home. So she's counting smartphones, smartwatches, televisions.
Right.
She also, it seems to me like she's counting PlayStations and Xboxes, which those things plug into screens. So
yeah,
I'm not,
you're
I'm
counting
not,
them twice.
Right. I don't know, are we supposed to count those or not? I counted just things that actually have screens in my house.
Stand-up video games, they count?
Yes. If it's got a screen like that, then I think it counts. Any type of television or smart device. And if you have like an Echo Show, something like that, it's got a screen. Even if your refrigerator has one of those digital screens on it, that would count. Because she counted up hers. She's got a lot of televisions in her house, but she ended up having like a couple dozen in her home. It sounds like she's got a decent-sized family.
My two-year-old's iPad. My 5-year-old's iPad and his AAC. My 7-year-old's iPad. My 10-year-old's iPad and his iPhone. My iPad, my iPhone, and my Switch. And my watch. And my MacBook. My husband's iPad, my husband's iPhone, and his watch. Each of the two older boys have a PS5. My husband has an Xbox Series X and a PC. We have 9 TVs throughout the entire house.
A lot of TVs.
And the only time we limit screen time is Monday through Thursday.
Okay, so you end up with a couple dozen, but you've got 9 TVs. Right. That's a lot of TVs. Then the next thing you do is compare it. You figure out how many screens you've got now, and then compare it to how many you had when you were a kid. So I added mine up now, unless I'm forgetting any. We have 4 laptops in the house. We have 4 phones in the house. 2 of them are just used like tablets. We have 3 TVs. We have 4 tablets because I'm counting my Kindles as well as my regular tablets because those are screens, right? So 4 tablets, and I do have a Switch Lite, so that's 16
screens. Is that plugged
screens.
Into a TV, though? Are you counting a TV twice or no?
No, the Switch is a handheld Switch Lite. Okay, right. So,
well, you can plug it into a TV. But
not mine. No, it's just the regular Switch. The regular Switch, yes, but the Switch Lite is just the portable thing. So 16 screens that I'm counting. I'm sure I could be forgetting something. We have no smartwatches or any of that. And we don't have 9 TVs, we have 3. It's a small house, but we also don't have any kids. When I was a kid, unless I'm forgetting something, I counted 5. 2 PCs, this is at our height, 2 PCs
right.
and 3 TVs. That would have been the most screens at any one time that I can think of. Now, we did maybe have one of those like Tiger Electronic games with the LED light that flashed around.
We had a bunch of those.
But it just had a light bulb that flashed and moved around, but it's sort of a screen.
Right, yeah.
It's an electronic device with it's a very rudimentary screen,
right,
but it's a
sure.
screen. I mean, you don't have the smartwatches.
I don't.
So you guys, if I had to guess, you go with TVs, phones, so that you got 3 phones right there off the
right.
top, right? Each of you have a phone. I don't know, you don't have any old phones that you use as like tablets
no.
around the house? Okay, you don't have computers in the house, right?
No.
Just the phones. So then how many TVs do you have?
Let's see. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
7 TVs?
7 TVs.
There's
total.
7 TVs?
Well, 1 in each everybody's room.
Wow.
1 in the living room, 1 in the family room, 1 in the garage, 1 in the basement.
Oh, in the garage,
oh,
too.
An extra one in the basement, so 8.
Wow. Okay, 8 TVs. You've got almost as many TVs as this woman has.
That's not that many.
I mean, I guess I live in a very small house, so I guess it seems like a lot. I don't know.
Well,
it's
certainly
much when
we
were kids.
That'd be 3.
Yeah.
Right? One in your room and one in each of their rooms, so that's 3. So just add 3 to yours. What do you have?
Right. Then I would have 6.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
the TV thing is where I lose out some. I do have a lot of tablets and old phones that are being used
right.
around the house. So I make up ground there. And our laptops. I don't know why we keep our laptops, but we end up using them. Brooke has her old laptop and her new laptop, which she uses both. Oh, actually, I didn't count her work computer. So that would be another screen. So that'd be 17 screens. But
we have more than me for sure.
Yeah, through those. So you make
well,
up more TVs.
I have, what we say, 9 TVs?
She had 9 TVs. You had, I think, 8 we got up to. 7 or 8 that we got up to.
Let's go 8. And
7.
Then the 2 stand-up video games.
Oh, right.
That's 10.
Yep. And then
the
3 phones.
That's
13.
About it, I think.
Okay. So 13. Yeah. No Switch
no.
lights. None of that stuff. No tablets at all. No
nope.
Kindles or anything like that. Mm-mm. I know she says something about her kids. AAC. I'm not sure what that was. But I didn't know if you guys knew what it was mm-hmm. immediately when she said it. But now when you were a kid, how many did you have in your house as a kid? Because it's just TVs and computers if you had one, right?
Yeah, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
5?
5 or 6?
Yeah, I counted 5, like I said, at the height in my house,
yeah.
5, because we had 2 computers at one point. They said in 2014, the average house had about 5 screens. And now we're somewhere, we're getting closer to 10 is the average now. I mean, is this supposed to be a bad thing, though? They say this like, you know, this is a bad thing. Or just, it's so crazy that we have so many more screens than we did when we were kids. Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess if you took a time machine to now, one of the things you'd notice is that we do look at screens a lot more often. We have screens.
Yeah, well, I think it would probably just be your phone.
But right.
But I think I don't know. The TVs in and of themselves,
I think people probably have, maybe not. I feel like people probably have more TVs now. They're more likely to have TVs in their kids' room now than they were when I was a kid.
I had one in my
friends,
room.
A lot of my friends didn't have TVs in their room. I didn't get one until I was older. That's why I'm saying at the height, because I wasn't allowed a TV in the room until I was a teenager. And a lot of my friends did not have TVs in their rooms. I feel like now kids have TVs in their rooms,
yeah.
and they're pretty young, right?
My kids have always had one.
And right. And kids get, like, even if they don't get an iPad, they get a Fire Tab or something like that. You see those kids out at the restaurant
sure.
with the little kid tablets that they've
sure.
got. So, yeah, it just times have changed. Is it necessarily a bad thing?
No, probably not. And they didn't have the other stuff. You probably would have had it. But again, if you're counting like any sort of handheld video game, then I would have had a probably more than I had a baseball one and a football one.
Those are the two. I had two. You know, I had those two. Baseball and football.
You know, little Space Invaders games and all kinds of little handheld things I would take with me to different places.
Yeah, if you had a bunch of those, then you could make up some ground. The TVs, we've had fewer TVs. I mean, the number of TVs obviously increased over time.
TVs
quite
got
a bit.
Cheaper and
they
better.
Got cheaper and better.
Like, I just you had don't a need little a bunch black of space. And white one with, you know,
rabbit ears.
Yeah. So,
and it took up a lot of space for that little black
mine was
one.
Even small, but, you know, like your parents were like, oh, they're going to buy you this crap TV, whatever, right?
Yeah. But I'm saying even a little small, you couldn't hang it on the wall. No. It was a big, heavy
CRT.
But now
you can buy a pretty nice one for $100, you know, it's fine.
It's tiny. And it just, you know, put it just about anywhere. And yeah, they're very, very, very cheap. So I don't look down on parents for getting TVs for their kids. We act like, oh, you know, we were so much better off when we were kids. We went outside and played. No,
I
the TVs were just more expensive.
I had a TV in my room. So did my sister. So did most of my friends.
Yeah.
The video game hooked up to it.
So I definitely had friends who had TVs in their room, but it was kind of like, ooh, you got a TV in your room. Now, when we got older, when we were teenagers, it became a lot more common. So if we count teens, like by the time I was driving, I think by then a lot of my friends started. But when I was a kid, I don't remember. But maybe I just didn't have a lot of friends. But I just don't remember my friends having TVs in their room when we were little. But I don't think it's because the parents were taking necessarily a moral stand against them. I think it was because
they were expensive.
They were expensive and they were big and bulky. Yeah. And so to put a TV in a kid's room, I don't know. I'm curious if you adjust for inflation, what one of those little 20-inch color TVs cost in 1988.
I had a little black and white one for a while.
We had one of the. The Watchmans, the Sony Watchmans, the rabbit ears, you try and watch the baseball games on.
That's all mine was for.
Had the mirror.
Had sports on it.
Yeah.
Lay in bed and watch hockey or something.
Yeah. Just get TV over the air. If you were rich, then you got cable in your room. Those kids who had cable in the room and they had their own phone line. Yeah. Those were the spoiled kids. But let's be honest, again, those are things that we all would have had if they were cheaper. It was just a financial thing. That's all it was. We weren't superior. The Church
of Laszlo. Yo.
Yo.
All right, so two big things in the news today. Well, I guess the Pope died.
Yeah.
And then this, Kanye put out a new song, and he tweeted about it, and he said, this song is called Cousin, about my cousin that's locked in jail for life for killing a pregnant lady a few years after I told him we wouldn't look at dirty magazines together anymore. Apparently he used to look at dirty magazines with his cousin, and then he says, hey, we're not doing this anymore. And then his cousin killed a pregnant lady.
Yeah.
And he says, perhaps in my self-centered mess, I felt it was my fault that I showed him those dirty magazines when he was six. So he's saying, so this guy's a murderer. Maybe it's my fault because I showed him the dirty magazines first when he was six.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like the bad influence. And he says, and then we acted out what we saw, him and his cousin.
In those dirty magazines.
Looked at dirty magazines, right. Said, my dad had Playboy magazines, but the magazines I found in the top of my mom's closet were different.
Mom had the good stuff.
Well, that's what people are saying, like your mom, but not just, maybe his dad hit him.
Maybe he hit him in the mom stuff.
Right. He says, my name is Ye, and I s***ed my cousin's until I was 14. So he s***ed his cousin's I guess, and that's what the song is about.
Yeah,
which I know you can relate to.
I cannot relate to that.
Well, you had sex. You want to have sex with your cousin? And it was a girl, but still.
Add a pig trough, and it's like a biography.
Yeah, right. Okay. No, a little different, but anyhow, Snowcone. I like that Snowcone because he's a big Ye fan, and so
I was.
He tries to. You were listening to him earlier today.
He's the greatest artist of all time.
I know. I'm a fan
of his
music.
Listen to him a lot earlier today.
A fan of his music.
So he tries to
sit on
stuff.
Can relate to it.
No, I'm just a fan of his music.
All right, but do you like the lyrics? Do they hit you in like a certain way?
No.
Like hit him, kick him in the heart with it?
Some, but that's not why I listen to him.
Just the production value.
Oh, yeah.
But the lyrics, they don't matter to you.
More of a music guy.
No, I mean, the lyrics matter, just that they're not relatable to me.
But I mean, they make you feel a certain way. Like most people, like you're saying that, like it's ridiculous. Like most people, when they hear a song with lyrics it hits them in a certain way. They like it. They're like, hey, I like this band. They're singing about this. It makes me feel a certain way. They like the lyrics.
Yeah,
the lyrics
hit
them.
His lyrics.
Other people put out music, and you're like, ah, the lyrics don't, you know, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Well, I like his lyrics generally, or I have in the past, but it's not relatable, but I like them. It's like seeing a movie about, you know, Transformers. I like that movie. It's not relatable to me.
Mm, got it. Okay.
Well, but what about today? Because the song...
No, you're not scared out of this. No, it's about you.
I'm asking...
You're not scared out of it.
Snowcone, I'm asking if you still like the music. Because he puts out this stuff in the last few years that... Look, I'm not a fan, but I listen to it and go, you don't actually like this, do you, Snowcone? And he's like, oh, it's the best album he's put out in 10 years, which might have been the only album. I don't know.
I haven't listened to this song today. I will say the last... album he kind of put out, he put on YouTube, and it was like 30 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
And I listened to it.
He's messing with you.
I texted friends and was like, I hate to say this, but it's really good.
Oh, really?
It really was really good. And articles
online. So maybe you'll like this song.
I think it was The Atlantic that like, we hate to bring news to you, but Kanye wrote another good album.
Well, maybe you'll like this Cousins song.
It's possible.
I mean, listen to it. You just try and hide it. You knew about it. You knew that he put it out. You've been reading about it earlier today, and you sit on it because you hate that, you know, Kanye gets all this negative press.
I told you about it earlier during break.
You didn't tell me about
it. Yes, I did.
Oh, I didn't hear you tell me about it. I didn't hear you at all. You were singing Kanye in there, so I turned your mic off.
Kanye, talking about all
if you're interested in that. Until he was 14.
Showed him Dirty Magazine. Until he was 14, that's the thing, too. How old, what's the age difference there? Because he says he showed him the magazine when
he was
six.
So I don't know if they're the same age or not.
Yeah, because at first I assumed that, but then he says when my cousin was six.
Jail now.
Yeah. So feels guilty that his cousin killed a pregnant woman because he feels like he might be responsible
for that
due
whole,
to the fact that he gave access to these dirty magazines, which they then acted out.
Messed him up sexually.
Yeah. Messed him up in the head. And apparently that behavior went on until they were 14. That's the other thing you don't expect. If he says it, remember Lena Dunham had that thing in her book that caused all kinds of controversy about, I don't even know what it was, something about her and her little sister or something. But when Kanye says this about... You know, it's 6 years old, Dirty Magazines, and we acted out. You're like, oh my gosh, that is, you know, kind of tragic, deeply personal, too, though. It's weird that you're sharing that. But then to say that it went on until you were 14, or when you were 14,
that's still
I don't know.
Young.
Well, yeah,
you
but
know,
it's totally different than a 6 year old.
Yeah, but if you're doing it that whole time.
That's a long time. No, I get it. I'm just saying that's a long time. Like, you know, it went on into your teens. So.
NFL Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp. Let's see. He has been in a relationship defined by manipulation, control, and intimidation in a civil lawsuit filed Sunday. The suit was filed in Las Vegas by a woman using a pseudonym, Jane Doe. It seeks $50 million in damages. Sharp denied the allegations in a statement from his attorney, calling the rape claims a gross lie and an egregious attempt at blackmail.
So she's saying rape. She says
Sharp, 56, first approached the woman in January of 2023 at a gym in Los Angeles when she was 20 years old.
Oh, so this wasn't that long ago.
According to the lawsuit, the club Shay Shay podcaster relentlessly pursued the woman until she caved to his advances, the suit claims.
Oh.
The suit describes a rocky, consensual relationship between the two in which Sharp made repeated demands of the woman. Sharp continued to control her, not just physically, but emotionally and psychologically. He demanded complete control over her time and body, expecting her to be at his house on his schedule at his command whenever he called. In one instance, Sharp berated the woman while a gun was visible in the room. The woman shared her location with friends in case something happened. Sharp saw her and threatened to kill her.
Hold on. So he meets her.
Wasn't it Shannon Sharp that accidentally went live on Instagram?
Yeah. So this lady was dating him during that time, but it's not her.
Yeah, that I know he said
it's not her on the Instagram, but she tried to end the relationship because she was like, "You're cheating on me."
Okay.
Because of that Instagram, really? Where
wasn't that? Didn't he say that was his wife? Is he married? I don't know.
No.
Okay.
I can't remember. Yeah, I was for some reason I was kind of thinking there was some sort of excuse that sounded. I don't know. But this now look at the end.
Sharp and woman moved to Las Vegas in 2024, but the relationship spiraled that September after Sharp accidentally live streamed himself on Instagram having sex with another woman. Mm-hmm. In October of 2024, Sharp forced the woman to perform oral sex on him and then raped her while she cried. Then met her again in January 2025 and did the same thing, according to the suit. Following the January incident, the accuser left Nevada. There you go.
Okay, this is a really ignorant question, but when you have a lawsuit like this, and I know that these are common where it's rape allegations, you have a scenario where you're saying that the two of you met at a gym and that he pursued her and then she acts like she didn't want to give in, but he was so persistent right. that she gave in. Okay. But it does sound to me like they're dating. I mean, yes. So they're in a relationship. Then when you get to the part where he's raping you, how do you deal with this in a court of law? Like when you go to court, I would assume he's already denied this. So when you go to court, you say this didn't happen. How does this stuff play out in a courtroom where it's just two people and the evidence is basically her word versus his? That's it. Right. If you have something else, because sometimes you might have a scenario where you say, I saw it looked like that girl was scared or whatever. But if these two were in a relationship and then you're saying that as that relationship started to go downhill, he started to mistreat me, you know, all this stuff about he controlled me, he expected me to be at his house whenever he controlled me psychologically. You know, I'm sorry, but I'm a little skeptical. Like, what does that mean?
Well,
that
he controlled you psychologically. I mean, it appears,
but then you get to the rape part and you go, okay, he raped me.
Well, it appears
me, I was
like she had sex with him consensually.
For sure.
And she wanted to. And yes, he was manipulative, but she dated him. But then he wanted to have anal sex and she said no and he did it anyway.
Okay.
That's where you're at. Okay. By late 2024, the lawsuit claims that Sharp would insist on recording their sexual activity.
Aha! So there could be evidence there.
They would share the videos with others without her consent.
Well, there you go. Okay, there's evidence. If they can get a hold of that, then you have some evidence beyond he said, she said, right? I just always wonder how those play out. When somebody says, we're going to settle or whatever, you go, oh, well, I just assume that there must be some sort of evidence. You thought you were going to lose this case for some reason. Or is it just because the victim is more sympathetic than you? I don't know.
In October, the lawsuit alleges that Sharp violently and sexually assaulted and anally raped the plaintiff two different times in Las Vegas, Nevada, blatantly ignoring her request for him to stop. Doe also alleges that a similar event occurred in January, at which point she left Nevada. She is now seeking punitive damages of $50 million.
And you said this was right when he was about to finish his deal,
right?
Yeah,
today. I think tomorrow he's supposed to sign a new deal for $100 million or something for his podcast.
Do you think that's a coincidence?
Well, I don't know.
Like, does her lawyer know that? And also, does this mean that he won't sign that deal?
Well, she obviously talked to him before. Maybe it says, just last week, it was reported that Sharp was eyeing a new podcasting contract worth $100 million after his current deal ends. So there you go.
Yeah. So do you think that this will keep him from?
I would think whoever's going to sign him, would be like, well, let's wait until, you know, I'm not going to pay you $100 million if you have to do it from prison.
Right.
But it doesn't look, well, I guess no. I mean, it doesn't look like this is a criminal case, it's a civil case. So.
Yeah, that was my other thing. Because it's a civil case, they can't come to you, right, and say, hey, we need to look at your phone. We need to see every video that's on your phone. I mean, they could, ask someone else.
I can't see why they can't subpoena it.
Really? For a civil case like that?
I mean, they can subpoena your phone in divorce court.
They can?
Yeah, you can look at text messages and those types of things. So
I didn't know that.
They can subpoena your bank records and everything else. So.
Ouch. Yeah, I guess I knew that they could look at your bank records, make sure you weren't hiding money. So,
yeah, they can look at your phone.
And that's not a criminal court. Okay, okay. Right. Yeah, that does not sound like fun at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, if she's saying that he sent all these videos, I don't know if that's true, but let's pretend that it's true.
Well, they got the videos. Imagine what's on there. The videos. I mean, if he's having anal sex with her and she's saying, please stop, then that's it. I mean,
then that's it. And look, even if they were playing a role-playing game and she only filmed that part.
That happens.
Right. It could happen. It's possible.
When I was a kid.
Of course.
I watched that movie when I was a kid. I don't even know what movie it is, but that lady seduces the guy.
Yes.
And then she's like, you like it like this? You rape me. And as he's like, oh, yeah, you like me to rape you, whatever, she pushes the phone on the side and dials 911.
Yeah. It was on Cinemax.
I don't remember, but I was like, damn.
Scary. It's scary.
I'm not saying that's what happened this time. But.
No, but I'm just saying we're not trying to say that's what we think happened. Let me be very clear here. Just saying, though, that is technically possible.
That's proof.
But it doesn't matter that it's technically possible because if there's video of her saying it, that's enough evidence. It's overwhelming and you're done.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. That's it. Good show, kid.
Yeah, we're done.
That was fun.
It was fun.
I'll
see you guys here tomorrow.
Yep, same time.
Looking forward to it. Don't forget to bet the White Sox to lose. In case everybody is
done already.
Good. Me too.
You won today.
Yep. Done and done. Keep saying this. They're not a good team. Their easy misery money is your fortune.
Look, man, yeah, if you want to invest in Bitcoin, Dogecoin, or the gold stock market, whatever, yeah, go ahead. Or you can just invest in the White Sox losing and boom.
It's a sure thing.
Easy money. Anyway, David Gale, good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.